The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
My message to you is never give up. Never give up. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over this station. Heavenly Father, we pray for Thy divine anointing on this declaration of Thy Word, in the name of Jesus, amen. Going back to the sixth chapter of Mark, I shall read to you from verse 51 of that chapter to the end. It says here, "And he, that is Jesus, went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran throughout that whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered, into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole." Now, dear ones, the background for this message is that Jesus had just fed 5,000 men and their wives and children, but really Jesus wanted his disciples to feed the 5,000, but the disciples simply looked at the physical resources. They looked at how much money they had. They looked at how many loaves and fishes they had, and they concluded it cannot be done. Although they had been with Jesus for a while, they had not yet learned to look at the spiritual resources at their disposal. They had not yet looked at the power of prayer and of faith in God in order to do what Jesus did. So it turns out that Jesus had to feed the multitude. We learn then that after this miracle, Jesus went into a mountain to pray while he sent his disciples by boat across the sea to go back to Gennesaret. And my sermon this morning is called Going Back. But before I get into that, I shall make a little comment here, or I shall ask you a question. Why didn't Jesus asked his disciples to pray with him, or to also find a place of prayer for themselves so many times? Well, there are several passages in the Gospels where Jesus went alone to pray, seemingly without inviting his disciples. Why was it so? My conjecture, and I say my conjecture, a conjecture means coming to a judgment on the basis of incomplete information. So my conjecture is that Jesus here shows us some divine wisdom, and that is because his disciples did not yet have the spirit of prayer, they could not enter with him into deep, meaningful prayer. And so Jesus simply asked them to do something else than pray that was practical and helpful. And furthermore, he perhaps tried to get them into situations where they would learn to pray for the impossible to become possible. So, perhaps Jesus said, "While I'm praying, you can row, and I can catch up with you later. I'll send you across the lake to the land of Gennesaret." And perhaps he sent them intentionally into a storm so that he could bring them to the point of what we call wit's end, where they had no other choice but to pray, for God to lift them out of an impossible situation into a miracle. Well, what we learn about these disciples in these Gospels is that they used prayer only as a last resort when everything else failed. And there are a lot of people, of Christians today, are there not, who use prayer after everything else has failed, has fallen apart. But in the book of Acts, after the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, that which used to be the last resort for them now became their first resort. And so after Pentecost, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. Now then, we're ready for the text before us. In verse 53 here it says, "And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to shore." Had Jesus been there before, or was this the first time he was in this land? Well, in Mark chapter 5, it tells us that Jesus was there before. And there is a story of Legion, a man who was possessed by many devils. So Jesus was there before, casting out these devils, and then these devils asked Jesus for permission to enter the swine, and Jesus gave them permission. And so the devils entered the swine, and so about 2,000 swine ran down the steep hillside into the sea and drowned. Do you remember that? So the man who was saved then and delivered from these demons went to town and told all the townsfolk and all the people in the region what great things Jesus had done for him. But the people did not appreciate Jesus being there. They were more concerned about their swine than this man having found salvation. And so they said, "Jesus, go home, go home. We don't want you here. You've destroyed our business. We've lost our swine." But now, a little later, Jesus comes back. And what do we see at the end of the sixth chapter before us today? Oh, look at verse 54. It says, "And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was." Hallelujah. My sermon is called Going Back, with a similar passion that these people in Gennesaret had rejected Jesus, they now received Jesus. When it comes to sharing the gospel, friend, let it be so with your husband or wife or children or your boss or your co-workers or with your neighbors. If they reject you now, my friend, don't give up, but go back. The day may come, by the grace of God, when they will receive you with the same passion with which they rejected you before. So, don't let it get into your mind that when somebody has shut the door on you, that means that you are relieved from your responsibility to go back and share Jesus with them again. Don't say of those who reject you as a messenger of God, "Well, I told them, and they didn't want to hear the gospel. Their hearts are hardened, and I don't need to go back." Indeed, there are times when you need not go back, when you need to shake the dust off your feet. But more often than not, you are not to quit after the first attempt of reaching someone for Jesus, not with your husband, your wife, your children, your boss, or your co-workers, or your neighbors. People who are with you often, my friend, stay with it and keep witnessing. Keep telling them the story in the Spirit of the Lord, even as Noah did to the people of his day, preaching to them for 120 years over and over again. Two of my favorite people in world history are Winston Churchill of England and General MacArthur of the United States Army. I like them both for their one-liners. I think these men had similar spirits. They were like two peas in the same pod. Winston Churchill, in the middle of World War II, when the going was rough, was asked to speak at Oxford University. It was 1940. France had capitulated to the Nazis. Now England was facing the occupation by Germany, and many people felt that England was doomed. But Churchill got behind the microphone on radio to face the nation. You see, by now, Czechoslovakia was invaded by Germany, Poland, Norway, Holland, Belgium. France had quit. The United States was undecided about entering the war. Winston Churchill got behind that mic and gave the shortest speech he ever gave, but yet his most powerful. And he said, "Never give up, never give up, never give up," as he shook his head and his big cheeks were flying from the left to the right. And indeed, because England did not give up, England, with the Allied forces, won over the Germans. And then there was General Douglas MacArthur in the United States Army, and he fought a ferocious battle on some of those islands in the Pacific, and here his army had to pull back because they could not get the edge over the Japanese. But as they left the islands, he said with a divine determination, "I shall return." And so the day came when MacArthur's feet we're standing on Japanese soil. Oh, I like this. Verse 54, 55, Jesus coming back the second time to the land of Gennesaret. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through that whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. We and the church in America are in a life and death struggle, spiritually speaking. We need that same spirit. Never give up. I shall return. I will go at it again until I see the victory. I want each of you to have that spirit in your heart about the things that have defeated you. We need to take back, my friends, our churches and let them be truly Jesus churches. We need to take back our courts of law. We need to take back our schoolhouses for Jesus. We need to take back our marriages, our families. And we're not going to get these things back unless we have a similar spirit that Jesus shows here of going back, or as we have in these two great men of the world, Douglas MacArthur and Winston Churchill. Oh, may God put into you, my friend, a go-back spirit, a go-at-it-again spirit. I want you to know, while Jesus was away from his first visit to Gennesaret, this demoniac who was delivered, he went all over the place and told the gospel of the Lord of all the great things that Jesus had done for him. And as he was doing that, the hearts of the people became tender, and somehow, as Jesus came back, it says they knew him. And the Greek says they recollected him, they remembered him from the last time. And now their hearts were ready for him. Praise the Lord. And so the result was, whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Oh, my friends, I want you to have faith and hope for all those people that you have witnessed to, be it family members or distant relatives or neighbors or people at work. I want you to have faith and not look at the obstacles and the obstinacy and the rebellion in the hearts of these people. Just have faith. Believe in God that he's going to do something for you, that he'll give you a breakthrough someday soon. Because what is impossible with man is possible with God. And so Jesus came back the second time, but then there was also a third time. And that's recorded in the book of Acts. We know on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of the Lord was poured down upon the Jewish people. And what do you think? What do you think happened? I'm sure that some of these people now, those Spirit-filled Jews, went back to Gennesaret. And this time, not just for the healing of these people, but for the salvation of their souls. Friends, ask the Lord to give you that Spirit that is in him, never to give up, but to go back where you failed, and by faith bring in the harvest, perhaps the next time around or the next time after that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio program. Please tune in again next week at the same station, at the same time. I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now. Until then.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.